Rebellion, a short story by F.W. Fowler. I can't believe they're saying this. Shh! Don't you get the implications? Ishkalar's anger was new to him. Mastering it proved difficult. We can talk about it later, Prince Vishtorkar said. There will be no later if they go through with this. What are you talking about? There's always later. We're eternal. It'll be a miserable eternity if we let them do this. Prince Torkar turned to look at Kalar. I'm trying to listen, he said. His gray eyes glittered in Asalara's rays that slanted in from the east above the far rim of the crown. Kalar clenched his teeth. Am I the only one who sees what's happening? No, I see it. I've been wanting to talk to someone about this, Kalar said. Later. We need to listen. Kalar backed off. They stood on a rock ledge looking down into the Grand Ilia Marga, the seat of Maeladra, who were speaking to the legions perched on the craggy rim of the crown of Tessalindria, their planting spears and pruning swords glistening in the rays of Asalara. They had been called from all regions of Tessalindria for a grand convocation. Mahaladra's voices boomed forth, explaining the final preparation for the arrival of the mankind, the next step of their creation. They didn't call us in when they created the dog kind. Kalar's frustration seeped out between his teeth. Or the horse kind, Prince Torkar said. Do you hear what they're saying? Torkar nodded. They're going to put them in the garden you've been building to the south. It's the most beautiful place we've built. The way the river flows, the placement of the plants, all the best trees, and the animals that live there. They told us to build it that way, the best of everything, Torkar said. So what will be so special about this mankind? Kalar was musing to himself as much as mouthing the words for the prince. Don't know, but it's big. Every one of us was called in. Been almost 20,000 years, not since they divided out the oceans. We were assigned to Laura, remember? Kalar frowned. I remember. You sound angry. I am. We had no choice. We've never had choice. We're servants of the kings, the prince said. I know, but still. The dog kind, and the horse kind, and the cat kind, they all have choices. They go where they want. They live where they want. They sleep where they want. They have few choices. What do you mean? Torkar grinned. They can't fly or place jump like us. Place jumping is overrated. So they wander around all day looking for things to eat. They never get to see how this whole place is put together. They eat each other, so they all have to be on the lookout all the time for the next bigger animal. They live a few years, and then they die. It's nice that we don't have to worry about eating, Kalar said, but honestly, eternity is a bit boring. How so? Torkar knit his brow. Look at us. We've been planting and pruning trees for 16 millennia. Us? Well, most of us, Kalar said. You princes. That's what Maeladra want, the prince noted. You never want something different? Sometimes, Torkar smiled. More and more I want to decide for myself. Kalar studied the prince's face for any hint of horror at the suggestion that he wanted to control his own destiny. He had to be careful. He didn't have a word for his desire to escape the oppression of Maeladra. Not having the words didn't diminish the feelings, but it made it hard to think about or discuss with others. He guessed Torkar could not help him out with the word he needed. There are others who feel the same. Others? Torkar looked into his eyes. More and more I sense their thoughts. How? They confide quietly, Kalar said, while planting in the fields, on the mountains, shaping the rocks, digging the rivers. While we prune and groom the forests. While we ensure that the animals have enough to live on. Are there many who think like this? Yes, many, said Kalar. Why have I never heard? You're a prince, my lord. You don't have to work the fields and the forests like most of us. Torkar nodded. But surely I would have heard. We all know this isn't the will of Maeladra, but we don't know how to express it. It's hard to think about or talk about. Finding others is slow. As far as I know, you're the first prince. The two Eladra stood looking at one another. You must keep quiet about these things, the prince said. We do. Do you think my Eladra know? We suspect they know everything. How could they not? Kalar said. Are you afraid? Of course. We wouldn't be so careful if we didn't fear. Torkar pursed his lips and nodded. I don't have the words for this either. The voices of my Eladra stopped, and the frenzied pounding of the Halorian drums eclipsed their conversation. From all around the rim, the legion shouted, Amanala! Amanala! As they knelt and pounded the butts of their planting spears on the rocks. Kalar joined in, habits formed in countless centuries of service to the kings. The ground trembled under the onslaught of their voices. Mahaladra ascended from the Marga, rising slowly, terrible in presence and awesome in splendor, like a cold ball of fire that one could see through and see nothing at the same time. They rose slowly. So shall it be done, they thundered, 100 voices in the perfect unity of one. The Eladra bowed their heads. Amanala! Amanala! They shouted. The fireball ascended majestically into the deep sky as all eyes watched. When the last flicker of light vanished into the empty blue sky, Prince Torkar looked down. Kalar stared into his eyes. We will talk again. Torkar nodded. Soon, it must be. Soon. Torkar vanished into a place jump, dematerializing in some other duty from a light blue fog that collapsed to nothing a second later. What do you think about all that? Kalar startled and whirled to face the voice behind him. Prish Fish Andar, he smiled. We have a lot to do preparing for the mankind, Andar said. Indeed. We will learn more at the council tomorrow. Kalar nodded. Andar stared at him. You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? He shook his head. Weren't you listening? Partly. I was distracted. High council meeting. Tomorrow, Asalara's noon. Here at Grand Alia. All the princes and the commanders of the legions are to attend. You are to be there also, on the rim. Then I'll see you there. Here. Ishandar saluted and vanished. Kalar had a full day cycle to sort out his thoughts. There were others. He wasn't alone. It was nice to know that there were more, but how many? Other questions loomed. If he called them, would they come? Could he count on Torkar? Perhaps it was all a trick. How could he do it? No one had ever... He needed words. Throughout his duties in the day cycle, Kalar agonized over how he could challenge Mahaladra. They were so powerful, and he had never challenged them. He had never seen anyone challenge them since the beginnings, since his awakening into their service. Tessalindria was then but a ball of hot chaos, sweeping its arc around Asalara. He and his brothers awakened, enlivened with the full understanding of their service to Mahaladra, the kings of the deep sky and the infinite expanse. Kalar had never seen these other places, but he knew they existed. Each was different. Each was unique, because Mahaladra never did the same thing the same way twice. How he knew of them, he didn't know. He must have been enlivened with the knowledge of their existence, and the image that he, with his brothers, would use this to shape the world. Piece by piece, Mahaladra gave them what they needed. The water to shape the oceans, the lakes, the rivers, and the courses of its streams. There were green plants and trees materialized by the millions as the princes and the workers tirelessly carpeted the lowlands to fill them with green. There were different plants for the highlands, for the slopes, and for the plateaus. Some of them were given the task of shaping the lands, sculpting the mountains, drawing the vast rocks upward into dazzling majesty. Mahaladra created the fish and the creatures of the deep, and the Eladra herded them into places that they would live. Birds and flying insects, even the locusts, gnats, flies, and moths. The butterflies were the best. He remembered the snakes and lizards. He liked the colors and the shapes. The animals were the most interesting, the vast variety in how they interacted with one another, each according to their kind, and how they depended on one another and warred over territory and food. The animals were the best. He didn't know how it all worked. He just remembered having to distribute them around and figure out where they could live to keep everything balanced. It had been a while since anything new had been given to them. Most of their work was now tending the forests and the plains and watching over the small variations that surfaced as this magnificent world interacted with itself and kept changing under the influence of its teeming life. These days they spent a lot of time in smaller convocations under the oversight of princes. It was starting to feel claustrophobic, and he wanted to see some of the other worlds. Rumors were spreading. "This is what all the rest of this is about," went one of them. "We've been preparing this place for this evolution. Something was going to change, but what would it be? The catchword was the mankind. Something different and something big, something that needed more attention and more care, a more intensive creation." Kalar should have been elated, but he felt he couldn't express it. Whatever it was, whatever it would be, Kalar struggled with his thoughts. Others also struggled, it seemed. He wasn't sure he wanted to talk about it, because service to Mai Lader was etched into his psyche in the awakening. Talking or thinking about being otherwise wasn't easy. The feelings were real, but formless. Kalar descended onto his perch on the rim of the Marga to the pounding of the drums that announced the beginning of the convocation. Asalara was nearly overhead, but a bit to the south. Many of the princes were already there, each at their station that represented their hierarchy before the kings. He looked down. Torkar stood at his station, in the ring of princes and commanders of the legions. Kalar stared at him, boring his eyes deep into his psyche. "Are you going to take a stand? I am with you." The drums stopped. The princes fell to one knee. The sky opened, and Mai Lader, in their infinite brilliance, descended into the center of the ring, eclipsing Asalara into a pale disk, barely visible in the sky behind them. The Marga shuddered when Mai Lader touched down on the polished granite disk 100 paces across at the center of the Marga. "Amanala! Amanala! Amanala!" shouted the princes in unison, their faces turned to the ground. "Stand up, princes and commanders of Tessalindria. Stand up and look at your kings." Many voices in unison. The Aladra stood and stared into the infinite light. Kalar had never understood how he could do this without hurting his eyes. "In this moment we bring to you an addition to the life of Tessalindria," the voices thundered. "It is formed like the animals, from the very dust of Tessalindria itself, and it will breathe its life from the air of this world and drink its water from the rivers and streams. The trees and the succulent plants that you have planted in the southern garden will provide its food. It is two who are one, and they will fill this world from the two." The presence lifted slightly, and there on the floor of the Marga lay two small figures. The princes gasped audibly. Kalar stared. They looked like the Aladra, but they were smaller. They differed slightly, but mostly the same, and they had no clothing. He glanced up at Torkar, whose eyes were riveted on the pair of figures. "They will rule this world, and you will serve them as you have served us." This could not be. Something was wrong. Mai Lader had made a mistake. The voices thundered on. "They have been given choice, and each will choose whom they will serve. We will walk with those who choose to love us. We will watch those who rebel. The Aladra will serve them to make sure that this world provides for each of them to meet their needs, to protect them in Sadak and wisdom until they die, and like the animals are returned to the dust. Those who abide in love will be raised into the deep sky forever, and those who rebel will disappear in oblivion." Kalar shuddered. He didn't know the word love, or the word rebel, but the context hinted at their meaning. The figures didn't move. Perhaps they weren't alive yet. The silent Aladrim princes and the commanders stood still, frozen in perplexity. The silence held for about a minute. Now was the time, if there ever was one, to step forward. Kalar was frozen with fear. Another voice interrupted his hesitance. I will not serve them. All heads turned. Prince Vishtoenvar, the prince among princes, stepped forward from the ring toward the two lifeless figures. The radiance of Maelodra pulsed into overwhelming brightness. Kalar shielded his eyes. He had never had to do that before. Speak, Prince Vishtoenvar, the voices thundered. The echo reverberated off the steep stone walls of the Marga. Vishtoenvar held his ground. I have served the king since my awakening, along with my brothers. We have never failed to do your bidding, building a world of marvel and peace where we would like to live. Yet in this completion we are being rejected in favor of your new creation, whom you are asking us to serve. You have given them a choice that you never gave us. The brilliance of Maelodra lessened and descended to cover the two prone figures of the mankind and then shifted and coalesced into a single figure that was almost solid but radiated like lightning. They were twice the height of Vishtoenvar, with legs akimbo straddling the two small figures on the ground. In their left hand was a hammer, like a blacksmith's maul, and in their right hand was a flaming sword. Golden boots that glowed like Asalara's noon shod their feet, and greaves of burnished bronze covered their shins. Their loins were girded with copper plate skirt that gleamed like Asalara's setting. A beard cascaded down over their bare chest like Tal's milky light at midnight. Their eyes sparkled like the diamonds of Northstrand. In his millennia of service, Kalar had never seen Maelodra like this. He looked away. From respect? Maybe fear? Maelodra rumbled, You have always been with us and will be, and all that you have built is yours to enjoy as you serve these children of mine. Are you angry because we are generous? Vishtoenvar stared at Maelodra in silence. You have always had a choice, Prince Vishtoenvar. You always chose to serve. Do you now entertain rebellion? I do not wish to serve your mankind. I wish to be free to serve whom I want. You have always been free, but now you are choosing to serve only yourself. Vishtoenvar hesitated. You are free to come and go, to serve or not, but know this. The mankind will be your master, even in your rebellion. From them will come one who will overthrow you, and you will see it with your own eyes and taste the bitterness of it with your own tongue before you are cast into eternal oblivion. He will yield to you in death, but crush you like a stone under the quarrier's hammer. The words were barely out of their mouth when they swung the maul in their left hand. It struck the polished stone floor in its very center with the force that nearly toppled the princes that stood on its perimeter. Cracks radiated outward, fracturing the massive stone with fissures wide enough to swallow anyone who fell into them. Begone, Prince Vishtoenvar, begone! And take those with you whose minds harbor the seeds of rebellion. The sword flashed as Maelodra swung it over their head and then stabbed the center of the granite floor, plunging it to the hilt. Lightning flashed out from the sword toward the princes, striking those whose minds were tainted with rebellion. Begone, Maelodra thundered. Kalar shrieked as the lightning struck his chest and lifted him up, 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 up. With the princes and the commanders of rebellion, straight up until the Grandalia Marga was lost in the mist below. They stopped. They stared at one another. Vishtorkar laughed, Vishtoenvar's face savaged with rage. Suddenly Maelodra was in their midst. Begone, they shouted and spread their arms. The impact of the shockwave sent the rebels tumbling outward, head over heels. When Kalar regained his balance, he looked around. He could see none of the others. He was unhurt. They would find each other now. They had to. He was not sure what it all meant for his future, but he now had a word for his innermost thoughts. Rebellion. And he was not alone.